It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Verse 24.
And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?
The tax collector found Peter on the street. And what the tax collector is saying, Hey, is your master, does he pay tax or he doesn't? Now, if the Peter would have said, well, we don't pay taxes, then Jesus would be guilty. But Jesus paid the taxes all the time. That's why Peter says, yes, we do pay taxes. And so when he comes, he was going to tell Jesus, I met a tax collector and he was asking me questions and I told them that we paid the taxes. Before Peter could say anything, Jesus said to him, now Jesus was not listening. That man was talking to Peter. He might have talked to him 4 or 5 blocks away, or we don't know where. And when Peter was puzzled, he says, I'm going to talk to Jesus. Before he opens his mouth, Jesus says, Peter, tell me, the king's children pay taxes to king? He says, no. Then who pays the taxes? It's the strangers. When Jesus Christ says, If the king's children do not pay taxes, then we should be free. What does it mean? He say, I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. I am the Son of God. And God created everything. Why should we pay taxes? And today the same theory, some Christian groups of people do not like to pay taxes. They say, hey, we can give tithe to the Lord, but we don't want to pay taxes because we are the children of God. The taxes only heathen people should pay. What Jesus Christ said? He says, whatever belongs to Caesar, means government, give it to the Caesar. And what is belong to God, give it to God. And so Christian people should not be disobeying the government law. And so we're supposed to pay taxes. And so let's read the further. Verse 26.
Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free.
And Peter says, stranger gives. So then he says, the children are free. So what he's saying, as many as received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are the children of God. So the people are thinking, Jesus said, the children of God should not be paying taxes. And this the word they take it, and they don't want to pay taxes. But Jesus said something else. Jesus said, we don't want to offend these people. We don't want these people to say Jesus is not paying taxes and he is not allowing his disciple to pay taxes. So they can penalize him and say he is against the government. That's why Jesus Christ says, you know what? We don't. 27.
Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee.
Now when I was reading this, I start thinking. The word of God says, Jesus had the money. They had the treasurer. They were keeping money in the treasury box. They didn't have a lack of money. They had all the time, they had food and everything. And why Jesus Christ is telling Peter, go for fishing, find the first fish, open the fish's mouth, and take the golden coin, pay for you and pay for me. Now, thought came in my mind, just think somebody lost the golden coin. How the coin came into fish's mouth? Somebody lost the golden coin. And if that person lost the golden coin, and then Peter goes and opens the mouth of the fish and got the golden coin out. And somebody just standing there and say, hey, I lost my coin. Give it to me. Then what would happen? Jesus will never say, if somebody lost the coin, you take that money and give it to the tax. That was not somebody's coin lost. If it was lost, then Jesus would say, give it to the somebody who lost it. But I think God knows where the treasure is. So maybe Jesus gave it to the fish to keep it, or the Jesus made the coin like the same, the government coin, and put it in the fish mouth. Whatever, but it was not stolen. It was not somebody lost it. Jesus will never say, take somebody's money and give. And so this is a miracle. And he says, open his mouth. It's not a female fish, it's a male fish. So he might be keeping that coin in his stomach. And then when time came, he took it out, gave it to the Peter. And so our God is a miracle working God. He can tell the fish to come. You remember Peter went and said, you know, we toil whole night and we cannot find fish. He said, okay, put it a little bit deeper. And he put it, and so many fish came, and the net started breaking. And other fishermen came, and they also start helping to get fish. Where they came? Whole night they toiled, didn't come. And the many people say, fish will not come daytime. They come, you know, certain time. But when Jesus said, there is a fish, fish came. There is a money, money came. Peter was just coming to tell the story. He said, don't tell me. I know what happened. You made a man. He asked you the taxes. We have the solution. We don't want to offend these people. Go and do it. And so from that we know, Jesus knows everything. Where the treasure is, where the money is, where the fish is, and what is in your mind, everything he knows. And we are struggling sometimes. We think, you know, where is God when I have problem? Jesus says, I know everything. What you're going through, just call upon Jesus. And the word of God says, if you have the faith like a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain. One time he says, tell the mountain to be that cast in the sea. But this time he said, tell this mountain and go and be somewhere else. The mountain doesn't have ear to hear. Tree doesn't have ear to hear. But God has given us so much supernatural power. When you give the command in the name of Jesus, they should obey us. Sometimes we say, son, stand still. And it stood. Somebody says, I want this. The shadow go backward. It did. Someone says, I don't want rain today. Stop rain. It does. So God has given us supernatural power. When you use the name of Jesus, we can go against the nature. And it works. Walking on the water is not a natural thing, right? But Jesus Christ walked, Peter walked, and it is against the nature's law. But Jesus Christ is the one who is a creator. So he has power over his creation. And we have to learn that. And that's what Jesus Christ said. Now if somebody says, if Jesus Christ has that much power, if I get a little bit power like that, other day one man was saying, you know what? Elijah's servant, Elisha, asked him, give me the double power. And he got it. And some person said, oh, I asked my pastor to give me your power. And somebody said to me, Pastor Peter, I can get your kind of power. Could you lay hand on me? I said, sir, don't ask my power. Jesus Christ gave us more power. Read that in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Do you think this was just Jesus said without a meaning, or he meant it? He said it something what he said. Why? He says, verily, verily. What does it mean? Truly, truly. I'm telling you. I'm not joking. I'm not just faking. I'm telling the truth. if you want to do some miracles, you can use the name of Jesus and it will work. Other day, one man wrote me an email from Africa. He said, "We don't have rain here. Pastor Peter, could you please pray?" I prayed, I wrote a letter, and when the letter reached him, he sent me email back, "Thank you for prayer, we got a rain." So God answers prayer. Somebody says, "Oh, in Africa there is never rain. There is no useless prayer, we cannot pray." But you pray, somebody asks you to pray, it works. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. We are going to start from verse 1.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven."
Now here we see the disciples asking questions, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Before that, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ was talking about John the Baptist. And he said that John the Baptist is greatest among all the people who are born into this world. But he says there will be least in the kingdom of God. He will be greater than the John the Baptist. But these people are not asking now greater, they are asking who will be the greatest. Now Jesus Christ simply understood what these people were thinking. The pride. When the pride gets in you, you want to be top of everybody. And that's what it is. So Jesus Christ took a child and says, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to be converted. When you say converted, means you got to be transformed. Your life has to be completely changed. And so he said, your life has to be changed, and then you will be humbling yourself, and then you will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The people who are sinners, every sinner has a pride, and the pride is the cause of fall or sin. If the person doesn't believe in God and they have their own agenda, you know the Cain. Cain said, "I'm not going to worship the Lord the way Abel does or my father does. I want to do the way I want to do." And he got into pride. He wanted to do his own will sacrifice. That's called selfishness or self-righteousness. Okay, so here he's saying your heart has to be changed. And you have to be humble yourself, and then you will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. From that we know the people who are going to go to heaven, they are going to be humble, they are going to be converted, they are going to be transformed, they are going to renew their mind. And in heaven, there is no sin. The word of God says no unholy thing will be entered into the kingdom of God. Matthew 18:5.
And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Now here we see two things. One thing he says, whosoever receives this little one in my name receiveth me. Now somebody will say, well, in that case, if I adopt some children or take care of my children, that means I'm just like a serving Jesus. That's not the meaning coming. Whoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. The second verse, verse 6, please read one more time.
But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Now he says, the little one you receiving, those little one are believers. He says, those little one who believes in me. If somebody believes in Jesus Christ, and you receive that person, that means you're receiving Christ. He says, please read Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 and 42.
He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
See, here is clear. You receive the prophet who is prophesying or preaching about Jesus. That's the person you receive, who is preaching the gospel. If that person you receive and you give them food, shelter, money, take care of them, he says, you are just taking care of me. And then he says, if little one or little children means the children of God, who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, if you take care of them, even giving them a glass of water, you will receive your reward. In the Matthew chapter 18, verse 5 and 6, when you say, receive a little child in my name, that means you are receiving me. It's not that simple, but receiving somebody who believes in Jesus Christ and you love that person and you take care of that person, then you get the reward. Now here, and one more thing he says, some people often the little ones. Little one means can be small children. Now so many people are kidnapping small little girls and destroying them and little boys. And some people are taking the mothers who are pregnant and aborting their children, brainwashing them and doing those things. So those people are offending this. All children are belong to God. We will reading in this. So the word of God says that kind of person, they should be hanged the millstone around their neck and dump them, drown them in the depth of the sea. Now somebody says, this is Jesus talking? Yes. Somebody say, oh, he's kind, he's loving. He would not say somebody like that. Yes, he says he believes in death penalty. If somebody doing this kind of crime and the innocent people cannot defend themselves, he said that person should have death penalty. Read it in Mark chapter 9, verse 42.
And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea.
Now, here he says he should be drowned, depth of the sea. He said he should be cast into the depth of the sea and kill that person. And so it is very dangerous playing game with God. If somebody says nowadays, if somebody doing that and you take that person and putting in the depth of the sea, you will be in a jail. Even though we don't do it, God is going to put that person not in the depth of this water sea, depth of the lake of fire, the lake burning with the fire. And there God is going to do it anyhow. Go back to the Matthew chapter 18, verse 7.
Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
Let's read in Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2 also.
Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones.
See, now the three books said the same thing. First of all, he says, woe to that man who brings the offenses. In the Luke, he said, it is difficult that offenses would not come. Because there are crazy people in the world. They will do crazy things. But at the same time, the word of God says, woe to those people. When the Judas betrayed Christ, Jesus says, it was better for that man never to be born into this world, because he will have greatest punishment in hell. This is why we have to tell the people, what you're doing, you are preparing yourself to eternal damnation, eternal hellfire. Even though in 21st century, nobody's going to pick you up and throwing in the middle of the sea, but that's what God is going to do. Okay, Matthew 18:8.
Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
He is saying, your hand, your foot, your eyes, try to make mischiefs, to do something wrong. Now, the sinners, they play game with their eyes. They steal with their hands. They walk to the bad places to commit sinful activities. So he says, your hands, your eyes, and your feet, cut it off, take it off, and throw it out. It is better for you with one eye go to heaven. With one hand we can go to heaven. With one foot we can go to heaven. Now, just think of somebody literally takes the eye off, hands off, and cut his leg off. And his heart is not changed. Do you think that man will be going to heaven? No. There are some people without a hand. There are lame people, there are blind people, and they are not converted. Their life is not changed because they have one hand. So those people will go to hell. But here Jesus Christ, first he said, your heart should be converted. You should be transformed. But if you try to take your eyes off, you should know why you're taking it off. Then you should say, this eye is offending me. Eye is taking me to hell. I don't want this eye. And Lord, give me grace. And I told you stories before. There was a man, and he was assistant to the train driver. And those train works in with charcoal. And he was putting the charcoal there. And in the meantime, he will be going in the morning and making fun of other people. And his eyes were committing sin. And one day, one of the fire went to his eye. He became blind in one eye, poison going to another eye. He became blind in both eyes. He came to my church and I said, sir, can I pray for you? Because I prayed for many blind people and God healed them. I believe God can heal you also. He said, no, Pastor Peter, I don't need eyes. I had the eyes. And I was going to hell with those eyes. Now, my eyes are gone. Now I'm totally transformed. And I belong to Jesus Christ. So this scripture comes true there. Here the word of God is saying, your eyes, your hand, your feet will take you to hell if you don't use it for the glory of God. God has given us hand. Lift up your hands and praise God. God has given us feet. He says your feet should be beautiful when you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your eyes should see the glory of God, means praising God. If you have good eyes, you can read the Bible, go to church, raise your hand, tap your feet, praise God and glorify God. Each and every organ God has given to us for His glory. And the verse 10 we read, one more time, please read.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Now again he said, little one can be little babies, can be born again children. Now little babies, they are innocent. And the word of God says, each and every little baby has an angel watching over them. Did you any time hear train crash, plane crash, and many disasters, and the children were tossed out with the wind hundreds of miles, but the babies are survived? Many times, little babies, little children, they survive. Why? Because if they are really born again Christian children, they have more protection. So the word of God says, these little children, they have angels. And those angels stand before God, and those angels see the face of God all the time. And any problem comes to these children, from heaven to earth, split second they can come and rescue us. That's why the Word of God says angels are there to rescue little babies, protect little babies. So he says those angels were watching, taking care of them, and they stand before the God, beholding the face of God every day. And the same time when we are born again, same thing happens. Read the Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Once you are born again, just like a little baby, in the eyes of God, we are babies, little children. If in the 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, he says, little children, when you are born again, child of God, the Word of God says, God sends his angel to protect you. Because when you are newly born again, the devil is after you to kill you, destroy you, pull you down. So the God is there. He sends his angels to protect you. Please read.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
One person said, can I demand angels to do things for me? No. They are standing before God. They only take God's command. You cannot boss around in angels. And not only that, you cannot even worship the angels. So the angels are in the presence of God. Let's read Psalm 103, verse 20 and verse 21.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
See what he's trying to say? What the angels are doing, they receive the strength from God, and they hear his commands wherever they want to go, and they listen to his word and his voice. Whatever God says, they will do. They have to be in the presence of God, receive the command from God, listen to the voice of God, and do the right thing. Verse 21.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
See, they are minister of his, and when they do the Lord's work, they have pleasure doing it the Lord's work. They are not tired, weary, or burdensome. As soon as God says, go, ready to go. They never disobey God. And so the angels are not one. There are millions and billions of angels. Each person have angels when you are born again. And each baby has the angel. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 11.
For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
So here's saying the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. Came into this world for what? To save the sinners. We were lost. Lost in what? We lost God and we'll start going other way. God says, okay, I'll tell you where the right way is. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way. If you want to go to Father, you lost the way. You're going some way, going astray. There is a scripture says the way looks seems to be right. And when the people go in that road, the end up is death. Luke chapter 9, verse 56.
For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
The Jesus Christ says, I have come to give you life, and what? More abundant life.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.